Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. American, all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 4th day of April, Anno Domini 2020, and you, oh, you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Edright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 7 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose, kick off your shoes, don't get the blues. Here comes the news. But before we get to the news... Okay. I don't know what that was.
Was that... It had to be Steve.
I don't know. Is it me? Is my sound up? No.
I'm trying to make sure mine is...
It is not. Okay. Before we get started, we should let everybody know that we are, in fact, in a pledge drive. More important now than ever. You know how important radio is to you normally, and it's even more important to you now. So... Please let us remember each other at this time, and let us remember those who spend their days listening to great music on the radio. And you can help us stay alive. You can give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or toll free at 1-800-790-0415. Or, of course... You can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. The lovely and talented Shirley Ray is eagerly awaiting your phone call. She is ready to take your pledge, and it takes less than 2 minutes of your life. And who doesn't want to talk to Shirley? So give her a call, make a pledge, keep this station, keep this show on the air. We are here for your... enjoyment even in these times, and we hope you appreciate it, and we hope that you will look deep into your wallets and deep into your hearts and join the club.
Yeah, I heard there were some internet outages around town yesterday, and people already stuck at home don't know what to do when there's no internet.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Radio. There's still radio.
There's always radio.
In fact, I saw a tweet, probably old, on, there should be some way, some sort of method for breaking news when Twitter's down. And someone posted back, radio. You're thinking of radio.
Thinking of radio.
Thank Marconi.
Exactly. What report? And there's nothing to upload.
Okay. Strange messages coming from your computer.
Strange messages. All right, it turns out that Zoom, the video conferencing app whose traffic has surged during the coronavirus pandemic, is the Facebook of video conferencing, at least in terms of the utter lack of any kind of security. It's under scrutiny by the Office of New York's Attorney General, Letitia James, for its data privacy and security practices. And I put that word in quotes. On Monday, the office sent Zoom a letter asking what, if any, new security measures the company has put in place to handle increased traffic on its network and to detect hackers. While the letter referred to Zoom as an essential and valuable communications platform, it outlined several concerns, noting that the company has been slow to address security flaws, such as vulnerabilities that could enable malicious third parties to, among other things, gain surreptitious access to consumer webcams. This refers to what's being called Zoom bombing. Over the last few weeks, internet trolls have exploited a Zoom screen sharing feature to hijack meetings and do things like interrupt educational sessions or post white supremacist messages to a webinar on anti-Semitism. In addition to allowing Zoom bombing, there's evidence that Zoom is leaking some personal email addresses and user photos, stealing users' Windows credentials, and displaying data from their LinkedIn profiles. Just to name a very few of the things it's found Zoom is doing. Of course, leaked email addresses lead to spam. User photos could potentially be at least embarrassing. and LinkedIn data can help with identity theft. But stealing your Windows credentials lets them into your computer and your whole network. Bad enough for an individual user who may have private data like account numbers and things like that on their computer. But with corporations now conducting business over Zoom, the exposure of large businesses grows larger every day. Worse than all of that is the fact that Zoom bombing videos are showing up on YouTube. Okay, that's embarrassing,
yeah.
But the implications are huge. Realize that they can record a Zoom session and send that recording to anyone. What sort of business secrets have you been discussing openly over Zoom this week? There are a lot of good alternatives to Zoom. It might be a good idea to spend a little time finding a decent and more secure alternative. So our poll of the week at soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. And it's easy to get to. Just go to soundbites.org, again with a Y. On the far left, at the top left, is the poll is back, baby. Take it here in red. And when you go to the poll, you'll see that this week's poll is Zoom's privacy stinks. And your choices are, I don't care, I'm using it every day. I'm a little worried, but not enough. I'll be looking at alternatives. I've already switched. I don't use Zoom. And, of course, other. So far, we've got 131 votes in the poll. And 139 votes in the poll. And I don't use Zoom is number one, followed by I'll be looking for alternatives.
It, they had a thing on the TV last night about that. And matter of fact, they there was a local group here that was conducting a meeting. And they, you know, for a class in that, they had all these panels open. Somebody bombed them. And first they were playing the loud music and being obnoxious. And then all of a sudden started posting pictures and videos. And it was definitely shut this down very
quickly.
Yeah,
unfortunately, there's not much. Zoom doesn't give you a lot of control on that. So all you can do is shut the meeting down. And it's too bad. There are a lot of other alternatives to Zoom, and some of them give you much more control. I've said before, I'm involved with a company called Mastermind Lounge, and they give you all kinds of controls. But there are look, Zoom is a great idea.
Yeah.
But it's the actual execution of that idea that's bad. Sorry, Steve.
Yeah, I would say they went from 10 million active users in December to 200 million active users in March. And they give you a meeting ID and password you have to enter to get into the meeting. So that means it's ignored. It doesn't use a password if you're sniffing the stream.
No, unfortunately, there's an API for screen sharing. Your screen.
But you should still have to put the password in.
Nope, that API is unprotected.
Yeah, that's the exposure part.
Right, and just about anybody can use it, and anybody can, and that once they have that, they have access to all the rest of the stream, yeah. And they can get themselves into it.
In the Mac version, a couple of months ago, maybe 6 months ago now, they were installing a web server in your computer without letting you know.
Right.
So that if you ever deleted the app, it could reinstall itself automatically. That got discovered, and Apple added them to the built-in anti-malware protection built into the Mac to take that web server out. Now, they are installing their app without asking for your administrator password. So they figured out a way to bypass your local administrator security.
Yep.
If you're logged in as administrator, it can install software without needing your administrator password.
And how many times have we told people never log in as the administrator?
But that's the first user that's created, and that's the user everyone uses.
Right. Right.
So and people are annoyed they have to type their password as much as they do. I've always found that ironic. They're mad they have to type their password, because when they do have to type it, they don't remember it. Well, if you had to type it more, you'd remember it easier, wouldn't you?
Yeah. At any rate, like I said last week, I have I started a page of alternatives to Zoom, but doggone it, there's so many of them.
I posted a link from alternative2.net as well.
Good.
I was initially a little happy that Skype wasn't sort of the default, because that has been the default for multi-user conferencing for a long time. And then Microsoft bought them, and we don't like Microsoft on our side.
Skype is available. Certainly Google Hangouts is still out there.
Cross-platform. If you're Apple only, FaceTime.
Right. That's the problem.
It's up to 10.
Apple, right.
Yeah,
up to
it's
10,
the problem.
It's
yeah.
Apple only. Google Duo does up to 8. There's Whereby, and there's all kind. You know, there's a dozen of them that are out there. The main thing is, again, it's that whole. Look, I got an update. There's a whole system of find the most popular one mm-hmm. and hit that.
Well, it used to
and
be
right
Cisco
now,
GoToMeeting. How did Zoom overcome Cisco? Because Cisco's
Zoom
huge
more people
in business.
For free. That's why.
Yes. Yeah.
That's the main.
They
reason.
Do have a 40-minute limit.
They did. They don't now.
Well, I was testing one yesterday, and at the end of 40 minutes, it said, oh, hey, here's another 40 minutes.
Nice.
And if you schedule your next meeting now, we'll remove the 40-minute limit on that one, too.
Nice. So, yeah, there's a lot of alternatives. Many of them are free. Some of them are cheap. But you should definitely take a look at those possibilities other than Zoom. And, of course, if you have more to say about the poll, you can, particularly if you select other, you should head over to our forums. If you go to our website, down on the right is Fascinating Stuff. Under the forums, you'll find the second forum down is the poll discussion. Currently, at least the number one item in the poll discussion is for April 20, Zoom's privacy stinks. Somebody pointed out in there, MyCQ pointed out in there that, people are using, particularly teachers. A lot of teachers are using this in Rochester. Certainly for some things, look, in terms of what you're putting out over Zoom, it may not matter about privacy. So, for example, if you're getting a lesson on algebra, there's nothing secret.
Yeah.
X, I suppose X. But other than
find
that,
X. There it is.
There it's over there. I see it. It's right there on the page. What's wrong with you? There's nothing secret about that. However, that's not the issue. The issue is that they can get your Windows credentials. Now they own your machine.
Mm-hmm.
That's the
rub. That's the big rub.
Right. And so your best bet is to stop using Zoom and find something else.
It becomes the default because that's the one everyone knew.
Right.
Well, we wound up using for our ham club this week because of this, you know, everything being canceled, which was remarkable. This could be a turn for a lot of different organizations and everything else we found. We used the webinar.
Yeah, from Cisco.
And we had so many folks show up in the webinar. It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
A lot of folks that normally can't make, you know, the meeting on a Wednesday night, they wound up logging in. We had...
Well, because whatever else they had was canceled, too.
Yeah, but I mean, the biggest thing was there's so many folks that showed up to it. It was fantastic, and we're almost considering, you know, maybe down the road they're going to look into doing this further during an actual meeting once everything can happen, you know, and people. But there was a lot of folks that just can't get out of that. And it's easy to sit in the comfort of the home and watch the meeting. And we did GoToMeeting. We tried GoToMeeting on Thursday night for our board members to try that out. And again, that was very successful that we're able to, you know, pull everything up, pull everybody in. So those are two good alternatives.
There's Apache Open Meetings, which is free and open source from the Apache Foundation that may already be running your web server.
It
would be really easy to implement it in your business, Apache Open Meetings. But Apple Cider, the Mac Users Group, we're looking at ways to go around that. We already do YouTube streaming for the audience. But we were thinking maybe we might have to do Zoom for the presenters and then feed that into YouTube.
Yeah, right, right. Well, you've got OBS.
Yeah,
right,
which
is
what
I'm
using.
Yeah, so
I can grab anything and feed it into YouTube.
Right, right, right. So, yes, that makes sense to me. I had a meeting in Zoom yesterday, and there's nothing. Sometimes all you can do is say, okay, it's Zoom.
Mm-hmm.
But, I set it up in a VM and then killed the VM when I was done. I want to thank a couple of people. We are in the middle of a fund drive, a pledge drive, and that's what keeps this station alive. And I, over time, historically, folks have been more than generous here, and we are very, very honored that you have joined us as members. And we have a couple of people who I would like to thank. We have I don't have names. I just have last names. I'm certainly not going to give anybody the last name. But I want to thank those two
names.
People. I have a K and a D.
All right.
So thanks to K and thanks to D.
Those are first names too.
Those are first names. Maybe I do actually have them, but they have a period after them, so it is possible that, no, I do not have their first names. But to both of you, thank you very much for your generosity. And for the rest of you, why aren't you giving us a call? It's 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415. If you're calling with a question, we're having a little bit of an issue at the moment, but we're resolving that as quickly as possible. And we will get to, and we will let you know when that is done, so you can ask your computer questions. But in the meantime, you certainly can give us a call and pledge. And of course, the best way to pledge is to pledge securely online at jazz901.org. It's really easy to do that. All you do is look for that great donate now button, which is not subtle on the page. So you can see the donate now button, and when you hit that button, it's a Mary blue button, Mary and blue button. I'm a good Catholic boy, so I see it as Mary and blue. And if you scroll down, you will find the sound bites pages, and there are some donation amounts that are listed here, but of course you can put in your own.
And if you don't have a one-time ability right now, you can also do the monthly gift.
Jazz-O-Matic. Yep. The Jazz-O-Matic is really easy. It's a minimum $10 a month, and you sign up for Jazz-O-Matic, and then we just take money out of your account every month, with your permission, of course.
In the upper right-hand corner of that donation page, there's a yes.
Yeah, I should turn that button on, shouldn't I?
Yeah.
Yeah, that would help.
Yeah, in the upper right-hand corner of the one-time donation, there is a no, don't repeat. You can pull that menu down and say monthly, and then so say give $10 a month instead of $120 right now.
Yep, and that and it's a secure transaction, and it's trustee approved and all that other stuff, so It's a clean and easy way to do it, and you certainly don't even have to talk to a human being if you're not only socially distant but socially hermetic.
You, yep. We've been practicing this for years, hiding in our basement
on
our computers.
We're pros at socially distancing. So you can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. And again, thanks to both K and D for their very generous donations. We thank you. We are honored and delighted. I'm sorry I don't have your first names, but K and D are who you are, and that's and we appreciate your pledges. And so join K and D. Join them and keep this. Look, you know.
Maybe it's Agent K and Agent D.
Agent K and Agent D, exactly. Yeah. Right. The people, the persons.
I believe they were Catherine and David.
Do you?
Yes.
Well, then we'll pretend that's true, and if it's wrong, it's Dave's fault.
No, well, I didn't. We'll get into it off air.
Yeah, not a problem. It's fine. It's fine. Yeah. But thank you, Catherine and David, for your generous donations. We appreciate them. Did we just out two Men in Black?
Maybe.
We just did.
Well, they retired, though.
Oh, right. They did. Right. So, so thank you very much. And for the rest of you, please. We in this time more than most times, radio is important to you. We would love to continue to bring you great shows like this, great music all week long, the weekend lineup, which is second to none on this planet. And we cannot do that without your help. So please, pick up the phone, make the call, and make the pledge. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415. And of course, pledge securely online at jazz901.org.
Yeah, and especially since, you know, the three of us are still here.
We are
coming to you folks live. This is not a pre-recorded show or anything else, because we know how important our listeners are to us. And right now, especially, computers are playing more and more of a part of your lives right now because of the social distancing. You know, it's great for the learning, staying in contact. I mean, thanks goodness for Skype and everything else. Folks can still stay in contact, keeping the social distancing going. And you still have a place that you can call up on a Saturday and still get answers to your questions. Because unlike the music, which Rob can program, for him to try to do this else, you know, without us three coming in here, it's
right.
pretty hard to do.
Right.
And engineer and take the phone, you know, the calls that we do from week to week. So, again, we're in one of those times that, you know what, you know how much you're enjoying your having your computer and, you know, the part that it's playing in there to your lives, along with listening to great radio, you know, support us. Pick up the phone. There is no wrong amount. If you could sit there and, you know, well, I'm out of work and everything else. All right, well, that's where there's the Jazz-O-Matic. And that's a great thing that can just happen over time a little bit. I think, what is it, minimum $10?
$10 a month.
$10 a month. And,
it's,
you know,
just to cover processing costs.
Yeah.
We'll take a donation of any kind.
And just, you know, go ahead and do that. And you've now supported a great program that, you know, is keeping you informed. And how to solve issues, which we have been doing now for over 30 years. 30 Man. Years we've been coming into your homes, folks.
And tech support is considered an essential business?
Yes, it is.
You're stuck at home with your kids. Your technology better work, right?
Yeah, well, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
And again, this is where I can't preach enough that, you know, you folks do have the time. And you've heard us week after year after year after decade preaching backup, run the antivirus softwares, run the, you know, the spyware, the malware. You know, now's the time to really set up those routines that'll do it automatically for you.
Yep. We've there's sort of been a stigma against homeschooling for a few years that you can't be doing it very good. It's really easy to homeschool. A lot of people are now finding out that homeschooling is really, really hard.
Yeah, no kidding.
I like that one, though, that's on there that says, teaching your kid how to do mixed drinks, is that considered chemistry?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And there was one with fractions, a quarter of a glass of wine, a half a glass of wine.
Some of the rocket people are doing chemistry, though, ammonium perchlorate. You know,
yeah, exactly right. If you've got the chemicals.
Black powder. Well, you know, Captain Kirk taught us black powder, right?
That's exactly right.
Or the other one where the kid is taped to the floor while the mother is sitting there trying to do her work.
Yeah.
I saw one where a big sign on the door, mommy's in a meeting, do not disturb. The answers to your questions are, I don't know, in your room, some fruit.
Yeah, right.
The other one there is... his kid came up to his mother and said, I hope I don't get the same teacher next year.
Yeah. I think we're finding that that parents are learning that teachers are underpaid.
Stupid kid called in a bomb threat.
Oh, yeah. We're coming right on up to it. Yep.
Yeah, coming right up onto it. We passed it.
But which clock is right? None of these clocks are the same in here.
Well, that's true. All right. I think...
That's it.
Yep. I think we're about to take a quick break. This is the perfect opportunity to make a pledge. 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415. 1-5. Pledge securely online at jazz901.org. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Shirley Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. 31 minutes after the hour, Soundbites, member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Soundbites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 37 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. We've had another pledge, different David. Thank you very much. Listen, people, I have to thank you all. This has been nice. We are in a pledge drive, as you know. We come to you only two times a year asking for your generous support as we prefer to keep this station in the public sector. To make sure that we play what you like. Let's not forget, those of you who any of you only tune into Soundbites on Jazz 90.1, let's, for the moment, ignore the fact that you're missing the best music on the planet with some of the greatest DJs, all of whom are volunteers on the planet. But
how much of the jazz music was created here? We have some great jazz artists from Rochester.
Right. In this place, that's absolutely true. But one of the things that you need to realize is that Rob was kind enough to take us in when we left our old station. And we would not be here without his and this station's support. So now we would ask that you support us to keep us and this station on the air, because there's just no place left to go, as you know. As you may know, radio is shrinking in terms of the number of companies that own radio stations.
Well, especially right now, computer businesses, you know, as far as repair shops, that's not considered, I don't think, essential business.
Right.
So, you know, if your machine gets infected or anything else, you don't have a chance to take it anymore. You're dead in the water.
That's
so
right.
It's a program like us right now that, you know, you call up. We're here. We've been here for the past 30 years answering your questions and working you through different issues. Well, it's as simple as hooking up a printer or, you know, setting up a machine. Or
it's not so simple anymore, Dave.
Yeah,
that's the truth.
Oh, one trick I just learned. When I was setting up my machine, you know, I got that new box for Windows, and it didn't
have... I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
I know, but it didn't have my Windows... I have an HP 4000TN printer from the business, so I had moved that upstairs, and it's a network printer, and it wasn't showing up on my network. So go into, say, add printers, and of course it wasn't there on the list. And there's one of the buttons that says, you know, it's an older printer.
Yeah.
So you select that.
It's too old. Buy a new one.
So you scroll down to HP. Now, this is one trick I learned, because it wasn't listed there. When I looked at HP, it wasn't there on the list. What you have to do is the update, Windows update. For the drivers, click that. It takes a while. It's not something that's going to be instantaneous. This takes some time, maybe about 5 minutes or so. All of a sudden, it came back, scrolled down. My printer was there. I selected it, put in the drivers. Away I go. I'm up and I'm running and I'm connected to my Windows or the HP 4000TN, just like it was before. Away I went.
Nice.
So it did help. But it was stuff like that. You know, we can help you folks work through stuff.
Yeah, and this is the place to call. To be honest, a lot of people have been reaching out to me on Facebook. I don't do tech support on Facebook. I got to have one place I don't do tech support. And
Slacker.
And I don't particularly like Facebook to begin with.
Well, now that you're retired, you got a ton of free time, right?
I do.
You've never been so busy after you retire.
You know, that is true. You know, because I've been off of work now for 2.5 weeks, almost 3 weeks, because that... First week, I only worked 5 hours, and we were off the rest of it. So, you know, I've been off literally for about 3 weeks, and just doesn't seem to be enough hours in the day. Trying to get some of this other stuff that I wanted done, I'm getting it done, but it's like, wow.
Whew. Yeah, it's tough. I've as I said, I've been doing all kinds of sessions on Mastermind Lounge, ransomware, and Introduction to Linux, and Ask Me Anything About Computers. So I'm doing tech support there, but that costs money, and people are trying to save money nowadays, and honestly, I'd love to do everything for free, and unfortunately, I
that doesn't pay the bills.
Well. I need to eat as well, and so does this station, which is why we're in a pledge drive.
Yes,
Segway. I'm the master of the Segway,
and that's why we're here. I mean, right. You know,
I could as easily be home with my feet up.
Yeah, same here. I got a number of things that I was working on, and you know, social distancing. But yeah, you know, man, the three of us are keeping the social distance. You know, Rob's scrubbed down this studio so we can be safe here and come to you live. So if we can take the time out to do that, all we ask is for your little bit of help to pick up the phones, give us a call, and show your support for this program.
Listen, I actually took a shower, you're welcome, and put on pants today.
That's why I keep 6 feet away from you all the time.
And all we're asking you to do is pick up the phone and make the call. 585-966-JAZZ, that's 966-5299, toll free 1-800-790-0415. If you do that, you will talk to the lovely and talented Shirley Ray, and if you don't want to talk to any human being at all, although why you wouldn't want to talk to Shirley, I don't know. But you can also pledge securely online at jazz901.org, just like William did. Thank you for your generous donation. Join Catherine and David and William by making that call, making that pledge. Keep this station and this show on the air. We know that people like to hear this show. We know that people need the help. And consequently, we're here for you. But now you need to be here for us. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 1-800-790-0415.
Why do you think I have a long cord on my...
Exactly right. So you can back up.
I could go into the next studio.
That would be okay, too.
Yeah.
Though we do... We do seem to be, we think we might be having a little trouble with the phones. As we've mentioned in the past, this is a school district, not a telephone or radio station or telephone station.
Right, we
so
don't.
So if you have trouble calling in, please call again.
All right, we do have one question here that was just texted in. It says, hi, I have a problem lately. I boot up my Chromebook and it shows that I have Wi-Fi. When I try to connect to a website, it states that I do not have internet and run diagnostics. I ran the diagnostics and it states that my DNA failed. I have run this at 5 a.m. Can you help? What's going on? DNS. I think you meant instead of DNA, DNS.
Yeah. If your DNA failed, you've got other problems. You become a puddle of goo on the floor.
Alien.
But
you're not human.
No, really.
Or
we
maybe
don't
now
deal.
You are after it failed. Yeah.
We don't deal in DNA.
Right, exactly. The DNS servers, let me back up one bit. DNS stands for Domain Name Services. The internet doesn't understand anything but numbers. So when you go to, for example, google.com, the internet doesn't understand google.com. It goes to a domain name server and says, you know, what's this Google.com business.
It's like the internet's address book.
Right. It's the internet's address book. And the domain name server comes back and says, well, it's at 8.8.43.72 or whatever the number is. And then you can go there. So unless you know all the numbers of the places you're going to, you need a domain name server.
Which used to be possible. There were like 10 or 12 computers on the internet, and they were written down on a piece of paper in the drawer next to you.
Right.
Yeah.
But now you need a domain name service. The domain name services are essential, and there are several ways that you connect to them, and it's an interesting can of worms. Yeah. So
it's kind of like there's a daisy chain of things happening.
Right.
your Chromebook is connecting to your Wi-Fi, and it sounds like that's working. Your Wi-Fi has to connect to the internet. So your internet router in your house.
Right.
That internet router has to connect to the internet router at the other end at your service provider. That may be where the break is. So it may be the router in your house not getting the DNS. It may be the router at the other end. We had heard that one of the large cable-based internet services in town was having trouble yesterday. In fact, at our office, we ran into the same problem. And so sometimes turning off the router helps. So turn off your Wi-Fi router, turn off your internet router, wait 10 minutes or so, and then turn the internet back on first, because that's the first wire coming into your house, and then turn your wireless router back on, and then turn your computer back on so they can talk to each other in order. That may fix it.
Alternately, if it doesn't, then on your Chromebook in the lower right corner, click on that little bar that has the time in it, and then select the gear, which brings you up to settings. Under network settings, click on your network connection, whatever your home router name is,
yep.
Right? And then you'll see a bunch of stuff, including something called, and you'll see the name and prefer this network and a whole bunch of other things. One of the choices is network. And if you click on that, it'll expand. And down near the bottom, you'll see three choices under name servers. You'll see automatic name servers, Google name servers, and custom name servers. Whichever one you have picked, pick a different one.
Yep.
And so if you pick automatic name servers, you will get the servers that you are currently connected to. As Steve said, it might be your router, it might be some your internet connections, DNS settings, etc. If you click Google's name servers, you will see it change to 8.8.4.4 and 8.8.8.8. And if you click on custom name servers, you get to put in your own addresses.
And we've seen some cases where people have switched ISPs, and they have forgotten that years ago they manually set their DNS to their ISP's address.
Right.
And now they're on a different ISP. Not DNS may not work anymore.
Right. And the other thing you may find is that it's not your fault.
Yeah.
If, in fact, your system is set up so that it is getting your DNS from your internet service provider, and if your internet service provider's DNS server is down, then you don't get DNS yep. services.
And that's mm-hmm. theoretically why there's two addresses there for DNS, that both of them won't be down at the same time.
Theoretically.
Yeah. Theoretically.
But it's the same
company, so they probably will be.
Exactly. So one thing you can do is try changing it to Google's name servers and seeing if that solves your issue. Google's name servers are among the fastest, they're pretty reliable. I've never had any issues with them at all, really. Yep.
Well, I just had that issue. My public IP address changed.
Yep.
And
which it will do once in a while.
Yeah, and because I want to use this one setup, this Raspberry Pi that I have set up, and all of a sudden it stopped working. And I go, what the heck did it get? You know, it's been up and running for months. And I was watching this one video, and it goes, oh, you got to go down to the end of this one program, because I had to putty in to the thing and put in my public IP address. And so I first looked and saw, oh, wait a minute. Yes, my public IP address changed because I had written it yep. down. It's now this.
You usually have to pay extra to get a static address, an address that doesn't change.
Right. Yeah. So I wound up going in there in putty.in, change the address, bam, Pi's back up and working.
Yep.
Now you would,
and it's similar with DNS addresses. So if your internet service provider's DNS is down, then yep. Changing to Google's will help. If you just Google, well, of course you can't, public Wi-Fi, public DNS. Servers, you will find others, but be very wary.
GRC has a DNS benchmark test that will scan a bunch of different DNS servers to see which one is fastest. You would assume your ISP's DNS, the one you're physically closest to, would be the fastest, but it isn't always.
No.
Because what has to happen is it's essentially a database of truly billions upon billions of IP. Well, it's a hierarchy, actually. So what happens is when I go to google.com, it says, I don't know any of this, but I know there's a server out there that keeps track of the .coms. And so it goes there and it mm-hmm. says, where's google.com? And it tells me. Now, if I go to hello or drive.google.com, right, for my Google Drive.
Yep.
So it says, I don't know where this .com business is, but where this Google business is, but I know where the .com server is, so I'll ask it. And it says, okay, Google is at this address. But I don't know. I'm sorry. And I just set off my thing again. Okay, you can go away now. You can go away. You can go all the way away. Thank you. So I can search Google and say, where is, I search .com and say, where is Google? And then it takes me to Google, and I ask Google, where is Drive? And it tells me. So there are multiple DNS queries that happen, but none of them happen if the first one fails.
Yep.
So that's an important thing to remember, and that's an important, and that's a reason to make sure that you're using a viable DNS service.
Well, we just had another person text in, and it says, from Art, it says, may I suggest that the Chromebook user with a DNS error also check the Chromebook's IP address to see if it is set self-assigned
yep.
IP address. I have found those error messages and are not always accurate.
Yeah, so your computer should have a unique address, usually 192.168 something, or sometimes 10.1 dot something. If it says 169 dot something, that means your Chromebook or your device didn't get an address from the upstream
right.
box. And so that's why you can't get on the network as well. So oftentimes restarting all your boxes can fix that problem, unless one of your boxes has actually failed or... you blame it on your ISP, and they're down.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, dear. I think I screwed around with my... I accidentally changed my DNS settings, and now I'm not going anywhere.
You're not on the internet, yeah. But you're connected to Wi-Fi, because that's a different setting.
That's exactly right.
We get that question a lot. You know, my Wi-Fi's down. Well, is your Wi-Fi down, or is your internet down? So we need to follow those steps.
Right.
Because it says mine connected to Wi-Fi, but there's no internet. So then we have to go to the internet router and check on that. It's sometimes easier when you have one box that does everything. But then if anything goes wrong with that box, you lose all your services.
Yeah, exactly. So that's the thing you need to know about DNS. It's a complex chain of servers.
Yep.
And if any one of the links of that chain fail... that's where you get a problem.
Yep.
But yeah, so we have we.
So if you know the IP address of the site you're trying to get to, type that into your browser, and that will work if the DNS is down because you already know the IP address. It doesn't have to look up the DNS.
Yeah, and you can always go to. Folks might say, "Well, I don't know the IP address, say of one of the other computers." Any of these computers, you can go. I don't care whether it's Windows 10 or Windows whatever. You can open up a command window and type in ipconfig.
Right.
And it will give you the IP address.
On Linux, that's ifconfig.
Of that machine. So you can go around. And it's not a bad idea once in a while. That's where I love the Orbi. Being able to just connect to that. And it shows me a whole list. If you can get into your router, you can see a whole list of the IP addresses of the various pieces of machinery that it's hanging off of it.
And sometimes you may get an error message that says something like this, IP is already in use. When you turn your router on, it starts from zero, and usually, and then counts up. So the first computer on gets one, second one gets two, third one gets three. If you have a computer on the network that is, say, already three, the router doesn't know that anymore because it's been turned off. So now the third computer to ask for an address gets 3.
No.
And then, no, there's already a 3. I don't know what to do. So that's why you want to turn everything off.
Yeah.
And
shut
everything
down. And like you said, first hook up your switch, then plug in your router, get that going, and then go around slowly turning on the various pieces of equipment because they still hang on to that IP address.
Yep.
Right.
And if you need certain addresses, usually within the router, you can set certain devices on IP addresses.
Right, like a printer. Its address never needs to change, and it never should change, because then your computers may lose touch with it. So you can set a printer to have a static address in the printer, or, depending on how techie you are, you can set a reserved address in your router.
And that's better.
Often a little trickier.
Yeah, well, I just wound up doing that on my... with the Orbi, I wound up getting this 2-terabyte drive. Got a great deal. It was, I think, $125 for a 2-terabyte network cloud drive.
Nice.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, for 2-terabyte. Because I know I'm living on the edge as far as my server down the basement.
Yeah.
That server has been going...
Tick-tock.
Knock on wood since... 1995?
Wow.
Yep. Yeah, we had it down when we were on Brighton Henry at the
time. Almost as old as your underwear.
Yeah. Or my socks.
Yeah, right.
And yeah, we set that up.
Our socks, underwear? Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. And we wound up bringing that, you know, to our new, the old shop or here at Empire. And it's been running, you know, it just sits there. And matter of fact, that was one of the other things and a good thing for folks to do. Is go through some of your folders and delete stuff you don't need. One program that I've recommended using for a long time is Revo Uninstaller. Well, I upgraded to the pro version. And I think it was only like $20, $25 for the pro version. Wow, does that even go deeper in cleaning out things? Because as we've told you folks before, you know, it's a matter of trying to keep things clean in Windows.
Yeah.
And I'm running a little over here, so...
Yeah, you are. We're going to take a... Yeah, there we are. We're... my thing is screwed up desperately here. I did something wrong. We're going to take a slightly longer break. The first hour is done, but we're going to be back for a whole second hour. And this is the perfect time to make that call and make that pledge. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. Or pledge securely online at jazz901.org. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Shirley Ray on the phones, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It's top of the hour, and you're listening to Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece Rochester, a public service of the Greece Central School District. Jazz 90.1.
On Instagram at WGMC Jazz 901.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 6 minutes after the hour, you're listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe, Soundbites, as we hurl headlong into our second hour of the show.
If I can, I started...
I don't know, can you?
Maybe. I don't know. After all these years. I started to do a thought, and then we had to quick run for break.
Yeah, you did.
What I was going to suggest to folks is, again, another thing to do is I know we all run into the habit of... You know, one, not backing up, but also going through your computer and sorting out, say, start sorting through those thousands of emails that, you know, you've never gotten around to delete or remove from your computer, and that, you know.
Remember when Inbox Zero was a big thing?
Yes.
Have zero unread messages in your inbox.
Well, start going through all that and some other files. Maybe you put a file on there and you made multiple copies all over the place and you don't know which one is what. Take the time to start going through. And as I was saying before, we've recommended Revo Uninstaller. It does a great job of removing it. When you use the Windows Uninstaller, all it basically does is turn one bit off in the registry, so that when it checks, it says, yeah, it's not here anymore. But all that, if you look at it, there's in the file structure, which I don't recommend, in the registry, you'd see there's literally sometimes hundreds of lines referencing that program. Now, when you go to boot up your system, it's got to go through that whole registry. And it's got to go through all those useless lines of code that slows your machine down.
And for a lot of people, they hear about something cool, they'll download it, install it, you know, play it with it for a day, and forget about it. And you may have done that a dozen times. And all these programs are in there not being used, but still taking up resources.
And if you use the Windows Uninstaller, sure, it took it off, but it's still in there in the registry. By running Revo Uninstaller, it goes in there and cleans stuff out.
Actually removes it from the registry.
You do a scan and you'll see two different screens usually. The first one will say, oh, here's all the things we found out there on your file system. Boom, select it, select all, delete them. Then it shows you the registry. And it could be hundreds of lines. Select them all, delete them. This way you're doing good file maintenance and keeping your machine running faster. And again, during these times, it's a good chance that, you know, you can go through all this stuff, get yourself organized, and it might also improve the speed of your machine.
That's exactly
just
right.
Just as an FYI.
And we hear often, before I go on with that, first, let us thank friend of the show, Dolores, for her very generous donation.
Good old D.
She's a Jazzomatic member, and we are both honored and delighted to have her be so. So thank you, Dee, very, very much from the bottoms of our hearts. Thank you. She's okay in my book.
She's been there for years for us.
Yes, she has. The thing you have to be aware of is we get calls all the time from people who are complaining that their Windows startup has slowed down over time.
Yep.
And they don't know if it's real or if, you know, whatever, but it is real. And what's happening is that as you install and uninstall programs not using Revo Uninstaller, the registry just keeps growing and growing. And sometimes it can be multiple gigabytes in size. Well, loading that takes time. Sorting through it takes time. Pushing parts of it out so you can run your programs takes time. So if you can use something like Revo Uninstaller, particularly the paid version, to permanently get rid of stuff you're not using anymore, and particularly if you then uninstall programs that you don't need anymore, you will find that the system boots up faster, and it's a much better deal for everybody. So definitely make sure that you get that going.
And the February Microsoft patch, and then even again in March, they didn't fix it yet, that you load an official Microsoft patch through official Microsoft channels, and it deletes all your user files. Just stop using Windows. There have been so many calls on the internet lately because of these problems. Microsoft keeps putting out updates that break things, that stop other things from working. People are afraid to update, but there's so many exploits and vulnerabilities in Windows that you have to load the updates. There's sort of this new movement going on to just stop using Windows. You've got Linux, you've got Chrome, you've got Mac, you've got iPad, you've got plenty of alternatives. You can do everything you need to do, you just don't need to do it in Windows and run all that risk.
Right. Yep. All right, back to the phones. Our first caller of the day is Joan from Webster, New York. What's up, Joan?
Hi. I'm a new Mac user, and I am kind of not all that computer savvy. But my question is, it's a MacBook Air, and my question is, what type of security should I have on my computer? I was under the impression that with a Mac computer, the security was already installed. And on my last computer, which was a Toshiba, I used Malwarebytes, and that was helping me.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you suggest?
There is a lot of security already installed in the Mac, but it doesn't catch everything. And Malwarebytes is still a very good program to use, even on the Mac. And they have a free version that you scan whenever you want to. So if you suspect there's a problem, you can run a scan. And then they have a pay version that scans all the time to stop things from getting in the first place. The biggest thing we've seen is that the threat model, we call it, has changed. And you're not getting viruses through email or through downloads anymore as much as you are getting fake messages on websites. So if you get a message that says your Adobe Flash needs to be updated, ignore it. Don't install it. It's lying to steal your money and install malicious software. So a lot of it nowadays comes down to user behavior and realizing that not all the messages that pop up are accurate. You can often tell because there's a lot of grammar errors or spelling errors. Or if you don't even have Flash installed, if you get a message saying you need Flash, you know it's lying.
Okay.
But, Malwarebytes is still one of the better programs. Some people do like running an antivirus on their Mac as well. There aren't any Mac viruses, but...
Well, there are very few Mac viruses.
True. And they don't run under Windows 10 anymore. But... You still can get Windows viruses through an email attachment. They can't do anything on your Mac, but you could inadvertently pass them on to a Windows user. So it's not a bad idea to run an antivirus on your Mac as well to help catch some of the things. Like we've always said, no one program can catch everything. So it's not a bad idea to have a couple. And on our Security Tango webpage, we have a list of several of the better antiviruses. If you go to the Let's Dance button, there's the Macarena.
Okay.
Anyone remember the Macarena, or is that old now?
Yeah. I've looked at the Tango.
Yeah.
But I use Firefox and Chrome,
mm-hmm.
And I've got Internet Explorer, too, but I primarily use Firefox. Does that use Windows?
No.
No, I didn't think so.
But, Internet Explorer is an interesting idea now. It's Microsoft's primary browser, but they changed it recently so that it runs on the same engine that Chrome does, Chromium. So Internet Explorer and Chrome are virtually the same program these days.
Okay. All right. Well, you've helped me very much. Thank
you
very much for your information, and good luck. And if you put me back, I'll make a donation.
I'm sorry. You'll need to call back. I'm afraid this phone system is not.
Yeah, we can't. I can't.
I wish it were.
I can't reverse engineer that.
Thanks again.
Thank you again, Joan. We appreciate it. Yes, we are in the middle of a pledge drive. We come to you twice a year, asking for your assistance. This station is public. It is a publicly supported station. There are very, very few jazz stations left in the world that are out there at all, and a handful that are publicly supported. And let us remember that many of you are not listening to this show except that during sound bites, which means you're missing the best music in town. But you do need to remember that Rob and the Jazz 90.1 people were kind enough, generous enough, and brave enough to take us in and give us a forum when we were without. So your appreciation of that is much appreciated by us. Please make the call and make the pledge. You can call 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free at 1-800-790-0415 and talk to the lovely and talented Shirley Ray. If you don't like talking to a human being, although everybody likes to talk to Shirley.
Yeah.
Except Steve sometimes. I'm sorry, did I say that wrong? You can pledge
I
securely.
I can't hit the dump them.
Yeah. You can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. The fairly conspicuous donate now button. Scroll down and you'll see the various options for soundbites. Soundbites, we have a number of pledge levels if you're interested in levels, starting at the $35 senior level, the $50 member level, the $90.10 sponsor level.
And don't forget the member card at that $90.10 level.
Yeah. And above, you get the member card, and it looks on the website, it looks like it's two cards. For the
running that special now?
Yeah. That's the
introductory
says on the website.
Offer.
Yes. and what that member card does is give you many, many, many offers of places to eat and things to see and stuff to do. You know, it's percentages off or buy one, get one, and all kinds of features. And at the $90.10 level, believe me, if you even go out once a month,
it pays
at the $90.10 level at $7.51, you'll save more than that with the member card, yeah. Much more than that. So it's a very good deal all the way around. And then you can join Catherine and David and William and Dolores in becoming members of the station. And in the meantime, we have a call waiting?
No, not yet.
Okay.
Yeah, going back to what you were saying, though, Rob went out on a big limb, folks. You talk about thinking outside of the box. I mean...
And he was fairly new here himself, wasn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he hadn't been here that long. And we've told this story before. The minute we got let go at our previous place, he was on the phone. We guys got to meet. Okay, so we all met. And before we could even order... We sat down and he goes, "So when can you guys start? I got from 12 to 2 open."
On Saturdays.
And I go, "Well, how about June 5th? I'll never forget that. I said, "How about June 5th? All right, let's order."
Yeah, that's pretty much the way it works.
And he goes, "Oh, by the way, Dave, you got to run the board." Went, okay.
You're right.
No biggie. But here, think about it, folks. This is a jazz station. We play all kinds of music. And then right on a Saturday at prime time, this is from 12 to 2, he's knocking off the music and putting in a talk show. That's been unheard of. It's not the normal format.
And let's be honest, he got some pushback on that.
I would well
admit. But he fought for us, and it's our turn to fight for him.
And we've been doing it since then, and that's why we're here today. Even with the social distancing, we're keeping our space between the three of us and Shirley. But you know what? We're here to answer your questions, and we ask for your support as well.
And it's easy. Again, as I said, you can call and talk to Shirley at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. You can call toll-free from anywhere at 1-800-790-0415. Or if you don't want to talk to anybody, again, from anywhere on the planet, or I guess in space, you can go to jazz901.org and click the Donate Now button and make a donation to the station. Not only does it rhyme, but it also keeps us on the air. If you appreciate this show, if you appreciate this station and what Rob and the management has done for us all here, then you absolutely need to make that call and make that pledge. Do it now before you forget. And remember, there's levels that you can join at, and Shirley will be glad to tell you what the benefits are at each of those levels. But you can also become a Jazz-O-Matic member for a pledge of $10 or more a month for however many months you want. It's an automatic deduction, and you get the benefits of the level that you pledge at. So if you say you do $10 a month for a year, that's $120. So you get the stuff that comes with the $100 level. So it's easy, fairly painless, even in these parlous economic times. It's not a big hit, and it helps us. It keeps this show on the air. We honestly, normally, we're much farther ahead. Holy moly! We want to thank Frank, and we want to bow down on our knees to our friend of the show, Scott. Bless you both. Well done. Wow. We need your help. We need your support. We need you to make that call and make that pledge. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free. Well, no, I didn't get those. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free. 1-800-790-0415. Or, of course, you can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. While we talk to Dave from Irondequoit. Hiya, Dave. What's up?
Hi. Guys, I called last week and you about Linux, and so I ordered a Linux CD and got it a lot sooner than I expected. And so I popped it in the old computer, of course the BIOS didn't recognize the CD drive, and so I tried to go into the BIOS, and that's my problem, is that I can't. I've hit escape, F1, F8, delete. I've hit all buttons many times.
What model computer is it?
The question is there another way to get into the BIOS?
You have to know what the key is. What model computer is it? Is it a name brand, or was it custom built?
Custom.
Then you need to know the exact model of the motherboard.
Well, usually when your machine is booting up...
Not anymore. They put their logos over all those keys of the screen.
Mine, so I just got a new machine.
But yeah, you're on the right track. Escape, F1, F2, F8,
usually
F12,
the delete
F10,
or
delete.
Usually a lot of the manufacturers now for the PC boards and that are going to either delete or F2.
The problem is timing.
Yeah, the minute it starts booting up, hit the delete key. That's usually best.
Oh, I know.
Don't hit it. Yeah, keep tapping it.
Yeah, you got to keep tapping that, or F2. Usually it'll respond to one or the other.
But if you can find the exact model of your motherboard, which hopefully is on your receipt, or maybe your motherboard has a logo that pops up on screen, you should be able to Google that.
Or you can call the people who...
Call the people that made it, yeah.
Or if...
You should be able to Google that motherboard to find what the BIOS key is.
Or one other thing you can do is...
It is MSI.
Hmm?
It's an MSI motherboard.
MSI comes up on the screen.
All right, now, hold on one moment. What I would suggest is turn the machine off. Now, if you can lay it on its side, take the two screws off...
Well, hold on. Is this a desktop or a laptop?
Desktop.
Take the side off and take a flashlight and look down on the motherboard. Without touching anything inside, just take the cover off with a flashlight, have a pen and paper, and you will see on the motherboard the model of the motherboard, the serial, the number and what version it is, and copy down all of it. So if it's, say, a B305-K version 2, write all that down so you know all the information. Put the cover back on, screw it on, and then... Boom. You can go and look up that particular motherboard and find out how to do get into the BIOS.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good idea. I in my haste or stupidity, I disconnected all the drives just in case that was an interference, but still couldn't get through. It's a 10-year-old, at least a 10-year-old machine, so...
I'm also seeing someone saying that some MSI motherboards, you press and hold the power button, and that takes you into BIOS.
Oh, okay.
Don't, press. So
particularly if it's that old.
Yeah, if the computer's off, press and hold the button to turn it on and keep holding it, and that might take you into the BIOS, too.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good thing, because I'd like to kind of use it as an alternate computer for scanning purposes only, but... Okay.
And
okay, thank you very much.
Yep.
I have re-upped my membership, so not to worry.
Thank you. Thank you so much,
thank
Dave.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
There's another list that says for a lot of the MSI, MicroStar Incorporated, is that MSI?
Yeah.
It's delete. But Nick had a point there. Don't just push the key. Keep pushing it again and again and again as soon as the power comes on, because you have to hit that timing just right to get into the BIOS before Windows grabs it and starts trying to load. But he said he unplugged his drives, so then the boot manager is going to be looking for a boot disk. And for security purposes, a lot of computers were set to boot the hard drive only. Never look at USB for a flash drive. Never look at the CD drive, because that's how bad guys could
sneak. Which is why you got to get into the BIOS.
Yeah, the bad guys could sneak into your office with a USB drive, boot their drive to load anything they wanted onto yours. So the BIOSes were set to only boot from the internal hard drive and nothing else.
Right.
So you need to get into that BIOS to change it.
Right. All right, we have a couple of more pledges. As you know, we are in the middle of a pledge drive. We only do this twice a year, and we come to you for help. We want to thank Kathy, and we want to thank Joan for their very generous donations. Thank you both. We appreciate it very much. And for those of you who are waiting on the line, hang on. We're about to go to a break, and we'll get to you when we come back. But in the meantime, just remember you can... give us a call, particularly for a pledge, 585-966-JAZZ, 1-800-790-0415, and pledge securely online at jazz901.org. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Shirley Ray on phones, me, Nick Francesco, and you, 29 minutes after the hour, Soundbites, member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1. Turn your radio down. 2. Turn your radio down lower. 3. Remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4. Make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5. Calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6. If you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7. Is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 35 minutes after the hour, we are sound bites. Before we get back to the phones, let me thank Jerome for his generous donation. We are in a pledge drive. Easy enough to make that pledge. Just call 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or toll free at 1-800-790-0415 and talk to the lovely and talented Shirley Ray. If you don't want to talk to Shirley, and I don't know why you wouldn't, but if you'd rather not, you can also pledge securely online at jazz901.org. The conspicuous donate now button takes you to the donation page. Scroll down until you see the soundbite stuff and make your pledge. And of course, you can give us a call at those same numbers, 585-966-5299, 1-800-790-0415, just like Andy did from Greece, New York. Hi, Andy. What's up?
Hi, guys. First, I want to say thank you for being here.
Thank you.
It's a breath of outside sanity. after a week of being locked up in the house, it helps break the cabin fever. I do have a question for Dave, but first I want to say to touch on the Rob Linton story that you tell, and the fact that he took a leap of faith to get you guys. I prefer to think of it as more like crazy like a fox. He knew the user base you were going to bring with you, and that did nothing but improve his listenership and hopefully bring more loyal listeners to the station.
Well, we hope so, and we hope that that's also reflected in the people who are pledging, because that's what keeps this station on the air and keeps us on this station. But so what's your question, Andy? Thank you.
Well, I know that I renew as soon as he sends out, he kind of pregames the thing, and I renew as soon as I get the letter.
Thank you.
David mentioned earlier that his ham group did a webinar.
Yep.
Was that a cost thing, or was it a freebie, or what?
That I'm not privy to, because granted I'm on the board, but one of our officers set that up, so I don't know the details on that. All I know is it was great.
Through his company or something.
Yeah, it very well could be. I think we used through his company, but it was great in that, like I say, because we are confined right now in the membership, you know, folks getting there. We were overwhelmed. I mean, it was unbelievable, the folks that showed up. We thought maybe a few. And it was unbelievable, the number of folks, and then the feedback that we got, that it opened up the door for a number of folks that otherwise, depending on their age or what's going on, you know, this or that, a variety of circumstances, was able to still attend and learn something. And, you know, that was well worth it. And that's why something that, you know, the board is now going to look at down the road to consider possibly doing other ham sessions for our weekly meeting online, so that folks that can't quite make it, you know, get a ride that during the evening for whatever reason, can just from the comfort of their homes listen to the meeting.
Yeah, many.
What caught my ear was the fact that it worked as well as it did for a larger group, and I was thinking of the fact that we had just missed our monthly Google Chrome meeting, our Rochester Google's meeting, because we weren't able to get stuff set up, I think, because Jerry was working 18-hour days.
Yeah. Right.
But, you know, we've got next month coming up, and I don't know that we're going to be out and about and allowed to have meetings and congregate.
Probably not. And like I say, I know it was close to 100 folks.
Yeah, and many of the programs do have either free trials or free for smaller groups. And then, Nick, you have your video chat software link on Ask Nick.
Right.
AskNick.com/videochat.php.
Right, and I've been slowly adding to that to the number of things that are available. But it's an overwhelming number of companies that do this. And
I'm sure that you and Jerry will be talking to set up the main meeting for Rochester Google's.
Yeah, we're gonna talk about that. I just, life got in my way too this month, but we'll talk about setting up a meeting. One thing that in general people need to be aware of is there are a couple of things about these types of meetings. One is that it takes a lot of bandwidth.
So the best computer should start the meeting.
Right, right.
Yeah.
The best computer, the best network connection should start the meeting. And in addition to that, there's the fact that your experience may not be as good as my experience if my bandwidth is better than and faster than yours. So you cannot assume that everyone will have the same experience. You cannot assume that everyone will, in fact, have a good experience. I was in an actual business meeting the other day. Four of us were fine, and the fifth one was not. Well, he is on a copper line, we'll just say, and it was slow, and he broke up a lot. Well, there's nothing that can be done about that from anybody else's end.
Yeah, it is what it is.
It is what it is. And so when you've got 100 people in a session, you often find that your experience varies from group to group, from person to person, and you may find some people come through clean and clear, some people break up a little bit, and some people just can't get in at all.
Hey, what's the old expression? Your actual mileage may vary?
Yeah, exactly. And so, like I said, I've started this page on video chat software, and geez and crackers, there's a 100 gazillion of them, and I need to keep updating it for people. But we'll see what we can do.
Well, thank you again for being there for us. It's like I said, it's a little piece of sanity and my cabin fever.
Well, thank you, Andy. We appreciate that. Thanks.
Talk to you later, guys.
Yep. Bye-bye. Yeah, we are here. We are here for you, and we know that you will be here for us to make that pledge and keep us on the air. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. Just like Tom did from Brighton, New York. Hiya, Tom. What's up?
Hi. How you doing? Yeah, by the way, I was also sitting in on that ham meeting through Zoom the other day, and it did work out pretty well. I just hope people don't use it as a substitute for actually showing up at the meeting. It's much better for people to actually be there and talk to each other face-to-face.
Yeah, I completely agree. But the nice thing about this is you can now open up your membership to people all over the world.
Yeah, that part's certainly good. But I hope people don't get the feeling they can just sit home and attend the meeting without showing up at the actual
right.
Yeah, we've done that. Well, it's one of the reasons we're doing the YouTube broadcast here at Soundbites, and we've done it on Cider too. There's sometimes people just can't get there. You know, Wednesday nights at 7, so you can watch it any other time you want. Same thing with Soundbites. It is kind of nice to be able to have that archive now. We used to pay quite a bit of money for storage at some of the previous streaming services, and I haven't found a limit yet on Ustream. Ustream was one of our old ones. On YouTube, there is an 8-hour per stream limit that hasn't that hasn't been a problem for us.
Yeah.
And so far, unlimited storage, and it doesn't seem to count toward our Google storage space either.
No, it doesn't. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Google loves the idea that people are putting up content. People put up 400 hours of video every minute on YouTube. Think about the amount of storage that is. So, you know, any one is minimal. But yeah, you're absolutely right, Tom. The ability to do this in times of need, and that would include, once we're back out in the real world, that would include times like during blizzards and stuff like that. But in general, getting together live is a much, much better way to do it than to do it over a network.
I do have a question, if I could get.
Yeah.
I will be sending in a pledge through the online method, by the way.
Thank you.
I get a lot of use out of this program. I do appreciate the advice you guys give.
Thank you so much.
My question is this. I've been in the process of switching over from the traditional providers of, Spectrum and the Internet, and so switching over to fiber. And I am also switching away from Frontier, which I've already done, actually. I switched to a service called Uma, which I'm sure you've heard of.
Sure.
And it's working okay, except when I dial a 7-digit number, the time it takes for the phone to ring on the receiving end, the person I'm calling, it takes something like 10 to 15 seconds for the phone to start ringing. And I'm wondering if there's something about, whereas if I dial a 10-digit number, like a long-distance number, it starts to ring almost immediately.
Yeah, the local, so you're talking about a local number versus a long-distance number.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that seems at least to have to do with how beefy the UMA server is locally and how busy it is. Certainly nowadays, with so many people working from home and so many people having gone to systems like UMA, you often get queued up.
Yeah.
You know, they can only, let's say they can handle 10,000. Well, let's make it a little number so that my brain will do it. Let's say they can handle 10 calls. If you're call number 11, you have to wait for one of those 10 spaces to be open. And of course it's not 10, it's like a million. But the point is, if you have, a line, if you have more people than you have slots, then people have to wait. And there's a certain, if you look at their terms of service and their quality quality of service, you'll find that they have a tolerance that says, you know, if you're waiting more than 5 seconds, that's a problem, or more than 10 or more than 15. So they will have some sort of threshold beyond which they do not like to go. But, of course, again, at these particular times, one of the issues is everybody was kind of caught unawares by this. And so even if you buy upgraded hardware, it's not getting delivered.
Yeah.
Have any of you guys started using this kind of a service, encountering this issue? Any of you use UMA?
Yeah, no, I personally do not. I just have my cell phone. I don't have a...
Well, I use Google Voice, and one of the things I've noticed is that if I do 10-digit dialing all the time, so even 585 in the 585 area code, it goes through fast. You might want to try that. Just include your local area code anyway. So I'm thinking it's waiting for more digits to come in because it's expecting 10 digits maybe. And then it waits long enough and decides you're not going to type anymore. Then it assumes it's the current area code. Then it tries to make the call.
Okay.
I'll do that one to try. Yeah. Again, great show, and I'll be calling or going online to make a donation. I think you guys do a very useful job for all of us. Thanks again.
Thank you, Tom.
Wait a minute, Tom. One question for you.
Yeah.
Call sign.
I'd rather keep that to myself.
Oh, okay. All right.
Okay.
You got to find you got to find them on the radio, not on the radio.
There will be no shortcuts.
Hey, no, believe it or not, sometimes, and Tom will verify this for me, sometimes folks within the city trying to connect to them on the radio,
yeah,
if you're going up on the HF bands, is harder than, say, me trying to talk to somebody in Australia.
Yeah, I bet.
That's true, yeah.
The lower UHF and VHF frequencies, you can do it, but...
All right. Well, thank you, Tom.
Yeah. Take care, Tom.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye-bye. No shortcuts, then, right?
Well, no, we've had some
other...
You can't
put it in your log. Even though you talk to them on the radio, it's the wrong kind of radio.
You're right.
It's still over the airwaves.
We're long wave, though, aren't we?
Yeah.
We're FM.
Yeah, but no, it's still part of the FCC frequencies and that. And
except you talk to them over the phone, so it doesn't count.
Yeah, that's true. All right, we've had a couple other questions. Folks are saying how, you know, that I've mentioned with the ham radio, there's different nets people are using with their computers and talking to folks around the world or just around the states or anything else with our ham radios and that type of stuff, because even though, you know, they might, their internet or anything else is down, they could still do that. And still stay socially in touch and that type of stuff. So, and then I had another person needed some information about the group here in Rochester, so I passed that on.
Nice, nice. The fact is that there are lots and lots of old school ways to stay in touch. I don't believe I know of anybody doing Morse code at this point. But
believe it or not, that is really catching back on. Because I don't know the exact year, but they did drop the code requirement.
Right.
But there are so many folks that are into the hobby that are starting to get back into the Morse code. Matter of fact, we've got a class. The folks meet, I think, on a Saturday, you know, to practice some certain stuff. And then during the week, they'll try to set up different time frames where they'll practice between each other.
Nice. That's pretty cool. I'm sure there are Morse code practice software out there somewhere. And I'm just looking that up right now. And indeed,
there's a lot of them.
Holy moly. The ARRL, of course, has one. That's obvious. But we'll go back to the phones and talk to Richard. From Irondequoit, New York. Hi, Richard. What's up?
Hi, guys. The man you were just speaking to.
Hold on a minute, sir. Are you on a speakerphone?
No, I'm on my cell phone. Oh, I have my receiver on. Shall I turn it off?
Yeah, please.
Just a moment.
Yeah.
The echo gets a little hard to understand you.
Yeah.
Now I'm just on my cell phone.
There you go.
The man you were just speaking to has a telephone service that is not Spectrum or Frontier. But
right.
What's he using? Because I'm about to cut the cord.
He's using a program called OOMA, O-O-M-A.
Which in general is some...
O-O-M-A.
O-O-M-A, yes.
Which
dot com or what?
Sorry, what?
Dot com?
Dot com?
That's a good question.
Yes, yeah. In general, that's something called voice over IP, VOIP.
I've heard of that.
You're making
what it is or how I do it.
Yeah, you're making telephone calls over the internet. And in fact, if you're using Spectrum telephone, you're already doing voice over IP. But there are a lot of companies. There's UMA and Ring and Vonage. There's a bunch of companies offering voice over IP, and so you can get better phone deals because there's more companies to choose from. And we're also seeing a lot of people just skipping the landline and going straight to a cell phone only. And I found a couple of little boxes. It's a Bluetooth box that connects your cell phone to your home telephones. So you can use your home telephone handsets that you already have in the house with your cell phone, which is kind of...
Where do I buy one of these little devices and how...
I've been finding them on Amazon, cell phone to POTS, you know, plain old telephone system, and I found one for $20 that I'm threatening to buy to see how it works, and then I found several others for $100, and what's the difference?
Yeah, you're right.
do they work five times better? But
now, so if I go to Amazon, what do I call this device, sir?
What was it? Cell phone. I forget what the actual name of it I found was. Let me see if I still have my link open. Cell2Jack is one I found.
Say it again.
Cell and the number two, the word jack. So you're taking your cell phone and plugging it into a regular telephone jack.
Really? With a USB thing?
No, Bluetooth.
Oh, okay. I'll try that. And any idea how I could watch television without cable or by an antenna, I suppose?
You can, instead of cable internet, you can get satellite internet or fiber internet or an antenna. But, yeah, you need some sort of internet service for television if you don't want to do cable television.
And once you have that internet service, if you're moving, say, from a cable provider to a fiber provider, then you'll find there are a number of things like YouTube TV and just a bunch of them that will provide television services. But I'm afraid we're done for another week.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm sorry, we have to go. I'm sorry, we're just out of time. I want to thank Dave Enright, Steve Way. I want to thank Shirley Ray for being on the phone. I want to thank everybody who called in and made a pledge, and that's we are so honored and so delighted that Catherine, David, William, Dolores, Scott, Kathy, Joan, and Jerome all called in. And you can still give us a call, or in fact, better to pledge securely online at jazz901.org, no matter when you're hearing this, even on the podcast. And we'll be back next week with a whole lot more of the longest-running computer show in the known universe, Soundbites, member-supported Jazz 90.1. See you in 166 hours.